And Diane, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Have you done tarot readings before, Diane?
This is my first real public outing.
Oh, I see. Right, okay.
Yeah, so I got really into tarot. I've sort of had a pack of tarot cards on and off since I was 18, and then I was into oracle cards for a while, and they're a little bit different from tarot. And then last year I was gifted a pack of tarot cards from a spiritual group that I'm part of.
Yeah.
And I just did this really big deep dive, geeky, hard out study of it.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to the point where I want to read for other people. And I've started reading for family and friends and things like that. But now I'm coming out of the broom closet, so to speak.
I think I said this to you off the air, like the stuff I know about tarot, I realise is from seeing it popping up in movies and things.
Yeah.
So how misinformed might I be?
Probably quite a lot misinformed.
What can you tell us to kind of correct what those misperceptions might be without me actually going through what they are?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess a lot of them, but probably the biggest misconception about tarot is that one of them is if the death card comes up, you're going to die or someone you love is going to die.
Right, because it's a powerful moment in a movie.
Yeah.
But that's not what...
It's not what it's about.
What is the death card about?
Transformation.
Okay.
Change.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, very rarely is about literal death.
Death is a transformation.
Yeah, exactly. And it could very well be about that, but probably very unlikely. And as a tarot card reader, it's not really my place to say, someone you know is going to die.
Well, yeah, that's not what you want to be doing.
That's pretty, no, I'm in it to help people, okay? So where I'm coming from, I have a counselling background.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated by symbolism and archetypes and Jungian psychology and all of that sort of thing. And tarot is extremely symbolic. It's really, really rich in symbology. And what it does is it's a really neat way of bypassing your intellect. If you've got a problem, I shuffle some cards. If I've got a dilemma or something like that, I shuffle some cards and I get some guidance from it. So really it's more prescriptive than predictive. So yes, sometimes it has a predictive element to it. Like, for example, you could ask in a reading, you could say, if I continue down such and such a path, what is the likely outcome?
And then the death card comes up.
But we always have free will in these things, and we can always change, you know, our path by taking a different direction or deciding not to go to the thing or do the thing, right? We always have that free will. It's just like this could be a likely energy to come up in your life if you continue down this path. Like, I don't know, if you continue to ignore your finances, you are going to get into financial trouble, kind of. That might be the flavor of the reading. Okay?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But, you know, you can take the cards in a... They've got lots of layers to them. They're not one-dimensional. And so it's all about the context of what you read and the questions that you might ask the person that you're reading. It's not about trying to read people's minds.
Yeah.
I'm not a mind reader. It's really just using the symbology of the cards to get to the heart of a matter.
Can you give us like a concrete example of something that maybe has happened for you or someone you know that's okay to talk about? It's not too private. Just something concrete, I think, is always nice once you've heard a little bit about the theory.
Okay. So without giving too much away, my partner is involved in a situation with a boat. He's a fisherman, and he's had some issues with that, with the other person that's involved with this boat. And I did a reading for him. He wasn't there, I just was curious. He was down sorting out the issue with the boat, and I was doing some reading, and what came up were some troubling things about this person. So one of them was the Knight of Pentacles reversed. And so Pentacles is the card of earthly material things, and it can relate to finances and money. And the knight is a very sort of ta-da energy, right? You know, yeah. a knight yeah. charging forth. It's quite a young energy, and is and this person is a young man in his early 30s. And the reverse card is – now, some people don't read reverse cards. I do. Reversals often have the energy where that energy of the Knight of Pentacles, which might be, here you are, here's something great. The reverse is maybe they're hiding something, maybe they're doing something a little bit dodgy. And because it's pentacles, the coin is falling out of the – you know, out of the pocket.
That's the image on the card.
That's the image of the card. And so it's going reverse, and it's kind of like, and we found out that he has gambling problems. So, yeah, that was quite interesting.
Oh, so that, okay, so you found out the gambling problems afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was, but did you rush down and tell him?
No. He already found out this for himself by that stage. But it was just like, okay, that explained that card. And there was the Tower card, which is like a lightning bolt that came out of the sky and sort of zaps this tower. That's indicative of sudden change, and he found out something, and it was quite sudden, and so it was like, oh, okay, so that's why that card came up. So you get these moments where you go, oh, or you're doing it and you look at the card and you think, oh, that makes sense, I know what that's about.
So you're not using it to plan your life?
No.
As such?
No. No.
It's so, like insight, perhaps?
Insight, thank you. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right,
yeah,
I understand.
It's
yeah.
to get some insight into a situation, maybe to delve a little bit deeper into some murkiness that you might not want to go.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of cobwebby corner stuff. Yeah, it's just kind of maybe just to give some clarity on an issue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if there's any skeptics still listening, let's go to that question.
Yeah.
Because there are lots of people who will be poo-pooing what we're talking about at the moment, and you know that.
Yes.
So what do you say to that materialist, we'll call it materialist science kind of view of the world?
They're free to have their view of the world, and they don't have to come.
Oh, so, okay.
Like, I'm not here trying to convince anybody of anything.
Do you feel like you have to answer the questions to justify what you're doing or anything like that?
No. I don't. Like, if somebody wants to come to me, they want to come to me, and if they don't, they don't. I'm not here to try and convince anyone. If tarot is just a tool like anything else, right? And we've had these divination tools for, well, ever since we've been on the planet as a human species.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had the I Ching or the I Ching, I'm not quite sure.
Don't ask me. Yeah.
Yeah, we have pendulums. We have all kinds of things, runes from the Viking culture. We have all of these things. And tarot was just something that came about because we had the printing press and, you know, and so it was initially a card game back in the Renaissance times. It was just a card game. I think it was called Tarodocchi or something like that, but it was an Italian card game.
Yeah.
And that's how it started, and then it evolved and developed into more of a sort of fortune-telling kind of realm, and then it's become something else as people have added to it, to the point where nowadays you could go to somewhere like you could go to any number of shops in town, actually, herbal dispensary or what's the gift shop in town?
Zinnia,
thank you. You go there and they've got dozens of tarot cards, all kinds of things from queer tarot to tarot with cats, to
that just makes me laugh. Is it tarot for the cats, or has it got pictures of cats?
It's got pictures of cats. Okay, I haven't actually looked at it.
That's going to be a big seller. It's got cats on it. Yeah, like, we know that.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I myself have got. I think I counted them the other day. I think I have 6 tarot decks and 7 oracle cards. So yeah,
okay, so all right, collectible type of thing as well.
Yeah,
so what place, so this, the concept of fortune telling, like, what place would you say that holds in our society. Like, and again, this is another thing we see on. It's used in a movie as a plot moving device.
Yeah.
You go to the fortune teller and they tell you something, and
yeah,
and that's how it's used. So that colours our impression. What place would you say fortune telling really holds in our culture?
Yeah, I think people go to fortune tellers because they want some certainty in their life, or they want some breadcrumbs as to what path to follow when they have perhaps a dilemma or a problem, or, you know, something that's giving them a little bit of jip in their life, or something that they're just maybe they're not sure about, like, you know, what to study or what path they want to follow, or whether this person that they've met is the right person. It's really about clarification and certainty, I think. I mean, there are obviously some people that are quite happy to give their power away to a third party and say, tell me what my life's going to be like. But I think for most people, it's just wanting clarification, and it's fun, and it's can give you an insight into something that you might not necessarily come up with yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So have you figured out how it works or anything like that?
Sorry?
Have you figured out how it works?
Have I figured?
How do you think it works?
Oh God, I wouldn't even like. I think that's a mystery.
All right, and you're comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Like a lot of us want to know how everything works. I'm one of those people. I want to know how it works.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some things in life that are supposed to be a mystery, right? It's like the God particle, for want of a better word, or you know that secret source that you know. What's it all about? You know, we can't answer that. We just kind of trudge through it and do the best we can.
So was there a point in your life where you kind of felt like you had proof that it was beneficial or something like that?
Oh, I think once I started, I'll go back a bit to oracle cards, right? When I started getting a little bit more serious about this stuff, probably about 15 years ago, I bought some oracle cards because I was going through some life problems, you know. And I'd take a card. Now, oracle cards are a little bit more straightforward than tarot.
Yeah.
You have a guidebook and it's got a message on it, and it's pretty straightforward and really good beginner kind of tool in terms of this kind of stuff. And I had these oracle cards, and I would draw a card and it would be like, oh my God, yes, that's exactly what it is. And there'd be some light bulb moment for me.
Mm.
Yeah, and the tarot cards are the same. It's just like, and sometimes it's not as clear, but sometimes it's like, okay, I know what you're telling me. And what's interesting, if you start journaling with your tarot cards as well and writing them down, and you go back a few months later and you go, oh my God, that's what that's about. So, yeah, just got confirmation from it with my own life.
Okay. Now, we want to try one here. We've just got a few minutes of the interview left. So how does this work? I've come to you, do I have to have something I want to ask about?
Yes, normally, because...
I haven't thought about that.
It's better to have something specific, because then otherwise we all want to know something, right? And obviously you want to make it something that's okay to say on air, but we all want to know about some area of our life that maybe there's a little bit of murkiness to, or we're a bit uncertain about, or we've got some kind of dilemma or whatever, and we know what that is, right? But sometimes it's like, just tell me, what do I need to know for today, okay? But then the cards will just give you, you know, whatever's on top for you, and not necessarily what you really want to know. Does that make sense?
Okay. Could I ask something about the radio station?
Of course you can.
That seems like the easiest thing. We're about to go through changes. Do I need to be specific?
Okay. You don't have to go into great detail.
Like hiring more people, so...
Okay. All right, so there's some changes for the radio station.
Coming up, yeah. Is it going to go well, I guess?
Okay, how's it going to go? Right, so there's lots of changes afoot. Whoopsie.
Or when you give advice about...
That's called a jumper card, okay? Oh, so that's a card that just fell out.
So, folks, Diane was just shuffling and one fell out.
I own a jumper card, so I'm going to keep that. We'll put that down.
Well, upside down, okay.
Yeah. No, it wasn't upside down. It's right side up, so...
But you've put it upside down now.
Yeah, because... I want to keep it. Then I'll flip them when I put them all out on the table. So I'll give you a 3-card reading.
Okay, Aaron?
Yep. Okay, so I'm just going to... So what happens is normally in a reading, I'd hold someone's hands and we'd tune in a little bit before I started shuffling the cards. But we won't do that today because there's all this equipment here and that. That would probably be a bit weird for the listeners. So
I've never held hands with anyone I've interviewed before either.
That'd be a first. I'll just sort of tune in to you. Yeah, okay. And I guess, I mean, the other thing is because I'm a massage therapist and a yoga teacher, I'm very, very comfortable with energy. So this is just another form of energy work. And I realise that that's probably really foreign and weird for some people. And that's totally okay. They don't have to be okay with it.
Like
I said, I'm not forcing anyone into this. So radio station changes. How's it all going to go? How's it going to pan out? And how's Aaron going to feel about all of these changes too?
Okay. All right.
How's it going to be?
So we're just shuffling. Diane's just shuffling while she's talking about this. Yeah.
All right. So shuffle, and then we'll just have a 3-card reading.
So we've got 3 cards, including that one that popped out by itself.
So this is the King of Wands, and I'll go through them one by one. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. Okay. So the King of Wands is... The Wands is about fire and passion.
Yeah.
Okay. So you in this sense, you could be the King of Wands in some respect, or it could be about another person, or it could be about the energy of the situation. Okay.
Yeah.
So kings, they're like the top of the hierarchy. In the court cards, you have page, knight, queens and kings, and they all represent something of that suit. In this case, it's the wands. So wands are about fire, passion. They are, and a king is someone who is very adept. They're very expert, and they're very, very good at getting other people to do things for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So you might know someone that refers to, or it could be about yourself.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And here we have a journey, okay? And this is the suit of cups, and here we have 2 suits of cups because we've got the knight of cups at the end. So here we have the 8 of cups, and the 8 of cups is, you see, a guy or a person with a stick, and they're going into the hills, and there's an eclipse there. Eclipses are all interesting energy. It's all about change, and it's about what's going on in the subconscious. Cups are about emotions. This is about going on a journey to find deep wisdom and to find yourself and to find the heart of the matter after a period of change and upheaval.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then the Knight of Cups here also, he's on a horse. Also the cup suit is about, like I said, about emotions. It's about feelings and it's about relationships and things like that. So relationships with the, you know, people in the radio station, how you feel about the changes. It could be about lots of things. Okay?
That one feels a bit vague at this point. Like what does it?
The Knight of Cups.
Yeah.
So knights are like a young, fresh, new energy. He's riding on his horse, and the cups is about emotions. So Knight of Cups can be brash. They can be a little insensitive because they're knights, they're not kings or queens, right? Yeah. They can be players, or they can be emotionally sensitive, young energy that is holding good news, has good faith.
How would you apply that to the station?
Yeah.
Or is this really about me?
I have a feeling it could be about you, Aaron.
Yeah, I asked for it to be about the station, but that didn't listen, did it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, because your feelings in this are paramount, I'm guessing. Yeah. So I'm
the manager, like, yeah.
See, you're the king of the castle at the moment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You're the head. You're sort of...
I kind of am.
You're fairly autonomous in what you
I definitely have a lot of autonomy, yeah.
So now there's this change coming in.
Yeah.
And it's about, okay, how do I feel about that? I'm not sure if I'm, you know, and it's like, okay, I've got to go deep in here. What is it about this change that's bothering me? What is it about this change that's going to be okay and all
I'm
right?
I'm feeling like I'm driving the change, so.
Okay, all right, yeah. Okay. You're driving the change.
So you're pointing at the Knight of Cups
card. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. So, but still.
But there's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, change is always scary, right? Change is always, even when it's good change, there's always like, ooh, what's going to happen? Because it's that uncertainty as we go into a new phase of life or a new phase in your business or a new era, if you like. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And if you're going to be hiring a whole lot of new people as well, that brings in a lot of different dynamics. This is where the emotions come up.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Perhaps there might be some personalities that you get on with and others that you clash with, and how you go about negotiating that.
It's a big consideration at that time. When, yeah. You know, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without, there might be people listening who are applying for our job, so. And we're not going to make the, don't worry folks, we're not going to make a decision based purely on this tarot reading.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as you can see, it's not like telling us, look for a person with these characteristics.
No.
Because they're the one. It's not that kind of, that's not what this is like.
No.
It would be in a movie.
No, yeah, yeah. And I guess sometimes in a reading, especially if you're looking at a reading and someone's asked you specifically about a relationship, then that's what you focus on. And you might get a bit of a hit, an intuitive hit about the cards being about that specific person.
Yeah.
Whereas I really feel like this is you.
King of Wands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it does kind of tally a little bit, doesn't it?
This is a passion project for you, right?
Oh, yeah, clearly. Yeah, yeah, totally. Everyone who knows me knows that. Yeah,
of course, you know. And you've been the king of this, you know, station for however long.
Yeah, and in fact, one of the things I want to do is actually make it a little bit less, like it can't be all about me. And it's not all about me around here, but I think it's still... I'm ever present, and like there's too much of me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think,
and this is where the king's delegation skills and you know, allowing other people to do some work for him comes in handy, right? To be a good king,
that's a skill I'm going to have to learn. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You do have to learn to delegate to be a good king. Yeah.
Hey, we've gone a little bit over time, but I wanted to stick with this. So people who've only seen tarot on TV, like me. Or in movies, get a feel for what it's about, and I can sort of sense the role it can play in people's lives now, rather than a dictatorial thing or a revelatory thing. It's like a helpmate in a way, to get you through decision making and things like that, or to make you reflect.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and maybe highlight something that you might not have considered in a, you know, in a problem or in a situation. Maybe there was something that you might be blind to or something that you just didn't consider, and it brings in another aspect to your decision.
Yeah. Folks, we've been talking to Diane Davies, and you are doing tarot readings at the Creative Market this Sunday from 9 to 1. Do you know where you'll be at all?
No, I don't yet.
Okay, it's not a big place, so you should be able to find
I think it'll be
find Diane.
Easy.
She's got like curly hair, so.
Yeah, and I have a sign.
Of course.
Tarot readings.
That'll be the most helpful thing. Yeah. All right, Diane, thanks heaps for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Aaron.